The U.S. economy is slowing its roll. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. U.S. economic growth was slowing down well before coronavirus started disrupting international supply chains. So let's just take a look at what that slower growth looks like. David Kelly is chief global strategist with J.P. Morgan Funds. Good morning, David.
Glad to be here.
We had a great jobs report Friday, but economic growth is still expected to be slowing. What is your forecast?
Yeah, it is. I think there's the jobs report on Friday was a little bit misleading. What we know is that consumer spending is slowing down. We also know that we got some pretty good trade numbers for various technical reasons in the fourth quarter. That's probably going to reverse in the first quarter. So we think that economic growth in the first quarter may only be about 1%. I think it's also going to be hurt by the coronavirus and by the Boeing shutdown. So maybe only about 1% growth at an annual rate and slipping below 2% on a year-over-year basis for the first time since 2016.
One thing that Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell is going to bring up today is his concern over risky corporate debt. They're worried that too many companies, half of investment-grade debt is rated just above junk bond levels. Do you share that concern?
Well, I do share that concern, but I think you also ought to reflect upon, you know, how the Fed is actually enabling this. Years of over-easy monetary policy has not really stimulated much stronger economic growth, but it has, to some extent, generated asset bubbles. And one of these bubbles is companies who just take advantage of these low rates to build up too much debt. And so I think that's why you're getting more low-rated debt. I don't think it's going to cause a crisis in the short run, but if and when we have a recession, a lot of companies are going to have trouble paying this debt, and that probably means more layoffs, more cost cutting. It may be hard to escape the next recession because of this debt.
David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist with J.P. Morgan Funds. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Anytime.
U.S. consumers owed a total of nearly $14 trillion in the third quarter of 2019. The New York Fed is set to update those numbers this morning and give us a sense of how everyone is managing mortgages and student debt and credit cards and auto loans. People are taking out auto loans at near record levels. And lately, people have been having a harder time paying those auto loans back. Auto loan delinquencies have been rising. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Delinquencies are rising fastest in subprime auto lending. Risky loans made to borrowers with lower credit scores. Jonathan Smoke is chief economist at Cox Automotive.
Subprime loans make up 20% of auto loans, but they make up 67% of defaults.
The rise in delinquencies is a sign that as the economy has grown in recent years, lenders have gotten a little too excited, says economist Sarah House at Wells Fargo.
You have seen credit open back up to subprime borrowers who are going to have higher default rates.
House says new and used cars have gotten more expensive, so borrowers have been taking on longer-term auto loans to keep their monthly payments down. But Jonathan Smoke says for those loans, lenders are getting a little more selective.
Loans have a higher probability of default the longer the terms get.
Smoke says lenders are also raising rates on subprime auto loans to compensate for all the risk. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
The National Restaurant Association says the restaurant business will be employing 1.6 million more people by 2030. A lot of restaurant workers these days, around 40% of them, are young, under 25 years old, which means as the U.S. workforce ages, the restaurant industry expects to lose a significant source of labor. That is why restaurateurs are looking to immigrants to fill that growing labor gap. Houston Public Media's Elizabeth Troval has more on how that's playing out in Houston.
This is the doors through the kitchen.
Houston chef Hugo Ortega points out the many different workstations at his restaurant Hugo's, which serves up Mexican cuisine.
On this side right here, we have the station that we create ceviches.
Ortega followed a coyote across the border in the 1980s. He says his American dream began with him earning $3.75 an hour as a restaurant janitor. Now, Ortega is a James Beard Award winner and one of Houston's most celebrated chefs. His path to citizenship came via President Ronald Reagan's amnesty program.
We have fantastic West African restaurants, Filipino restaurants, Indian, Pakistani, Vietnamese, Korean.
Melissa Stewart runs the Greater Houston Restaurant Association. She says Chef Ortega is one of many local chefs who bring flavors from their home country to Houston.
Within a 1 mile radius, I can explore the world.
And restaurant workers come from around the world, too. The local think tank Center for Houston's Future found that a third of Houston's food and entertainment workers are immigrants and says half of those workers are undocumented. But even with immigrant labor, restaurants still face hiring challenges. Houston restaurateur Jonathan Horowitz.
That's mostly due to the amount of competition and just the volume of restaurants that have opened in the past decade.
In 2018, the state says the industry generated more than $18 billion in sales. But Stewart says to keep those revenues coming in and restaurants staffed, immigration reform is critical.
Frankly, the goal is that we'd like to see it moving towards getting a solution for the workforce that, quite frankly, we need.
But with no comprehensive immigration changes in sight, Stewart says the industry is looking to attract workers other ways, like offering more hours and better wages. In the Houston area, food service workers take home on average about $423 a week, 30% more than a decade ago. In Houston, I'm Elizabeth Trovall for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.